You did what? Oh, flats. Never mind. Hey, y'all. Good morning. Man, y'all sound awesome, by the way. Being able to praise. So Sharon's asking me about this little thing my wife's carrying around. This little paper doll called Flat Stanley. I have no idea what this is, but I don't know what this is. If you're watching online, I apologize. If you're like sitting in the back or in the back, this. I have no idea. See.
That's all I needed.
That was it. You're going to have to look that up. I don't even, you know. So apparently we have a visitor in at CCW this morning. His name is Stanley, and he's a paper doll. So congratulations. How about that? So I'm going to need therapy after that. That's great. Thank you, Sharon. That's awesome. So you're like, what have we walked into this morning? Let me tell you what you walked into this morning. A little real time, all right? This is just us being family, maybe a little too much family. I don't know, but is that for family, Lisa? Is that somebody that, yeah, okay. Somebody roped you into kind of doing that. So, hey, it's been an amazing series. This whole real talk thing, it's been pretty good. I got to ask you a question today, all right? Can we talk? All right, can we just kind of talk together a little bit, all right? Now, I know I'm going to do most of the talking, all right? And I talked a lot first service, so I'm going to try to cut right to the chase because this is really some pretty cool stuff. But we're going to talk about real relationships in a different way, but why real relationships are important as we do life together, like real life together, like authentic, transparent, like down to earth, this is who we are, God's people, friends, family. What does that mean to literally like do life together the way God intended us to do that? And it's a pretty special thing. We start to discover that and live that out. So here we are. All right. Now I know you're thinking, man, like Joe's going to talk, we're going to listen. But I don't know. I hope you that as we get up and talk on Sundays and speak, that you don't just look at this as being a, you know, kind of an audience listen kind of speaker talk thing, but that you're interacting at least mentally and emotionally and spiritually with the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit and kind of, hey, look, how does this, like, if I were up there, what would I be saying? And, you know, if he were talking to me, what would I be, how would I be answering those questions? And, you know, just kind of having this conversation. And by the way, it's a conversation you can carry on throughout the week. In your small groups, with your friends, your family, say, hey, you know, what'd you think about this? And what'd you think about that? So, you know, our time together is special, but it's a time to talk. It's a time to interact. So to kind of illustrate that this morning and kind of, I want to ask you to kind of think about what would you do if you were sitting in one of these chairs up here and I were to invite you up and say, hey, can we have a real talk? All right. I don't know if we have any volunteers this morning. So I went ahead and recruited a volunteer this morning, all right? And his name is Hunter, all right? Now, he has no idea what I'm going to say or what I'm going to ask him. Totally unscripted. Come on up, Hunter. Let's hear it for Hunter Varela. Come on up. Put yourself in his seat. First service, Bernice came forward. It was an awesome time with one of my dear friends, Bernice. As a gentleman, I helped her up the stage. As a starter on our high school football team, I don't need to help Hunter up the stage. So good job, man. Glad you're here. All right. You guys know Hunter? All right. Man, if you've been in our worship team on Wednesday nights, I'm only gonna brag on you for a second, all right? But he's up there singing, helping out, leading, running sound, helping in the kids area, just a lot of different ways. He's one of my heroes here. A senior at Weekiwachee High School. So this is it, man. A stretch run. Yeah. All right. Proud of you. You want to have a seat? Have a talk. Let's see if you can use that thing. All right. Oh, it's not on. That was my fault. Now, being a technical genius, Hunter's got this whole thing figured out. All right. You good? Hit the lights on. Hello? Let me see. Oh, it is. It is. It's asking me a question. Mute off. The answer is no. Off. This is getting off to a great start, Hunter. Hey, try that.
Good morning, CCW.
All right, I don't know. We're going to see. Here comes Andrew. One thing we've learned from this series is that our microphones never work the way they're supposed to. All right? It's been awesome. It's been awesome. So, hey, like I mentioned, Hunter's got no idea what I'm going to ask him. So while we're getting this ready, I'm just going to warn you, okay? We're going to do his little popcorn questions. I'm going to ask you top three, all right? Just a top three answer type thing, all right? You're not being quizzed. You're not being graded, all right? I'm not going to, you know, but just however, whatever pops into your mind, All right, you can make that, you know, kind of give that thing. I want to start by saying, all right, Hunter, when you look at this picture, what do you see? I'm just kidding. That's not what we're gonna do. Sit back. You got it?
Hello.
Whoa. All right. Thank you, Andrew Warren. Appreciate you, Andrew. Yep.
Thank you.
All right, man. So top three. All right. And you can kind of, you know, how would you answer these questions kind of thing? But Hunter, I'm really curious. All right. Really curious. What's the top three things you like to do in your spare time?
Spare time. I like to listen to music, hang out with friends, and honestly, just help out my family at home.
How about your family at home? Awesome. Awesome. What's your number one hobby?
Number one hobby, yeah. Honestly, I mean, I like playing football, as yeah. you know, from Impact. Mm-hmm. I like playing music as well.
Yeah.
Like, I play with some of the other people here, like Alex Pollitt and Greg Irving.
Yep. It's cool. Yep. Spare time. Hopefully you guys have some spare time, have some hobbies and things like that. All right, top three. All right? Top three favorite TV shows.
Favorite TV shows?
Like ever.
Ever. Ooh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, probably there's a show called Letterkenny. They know that. I don't really watch TV too often. So
don't watch TV?
Not really. Letterkenny's good. Law and Order.
Yep.
I don't know.
All right, so let's go way back, like way back when you were a kid. All right, what do you think? What did you grow up on? What was your, like, go-to TV
show? Oh, man, that's Cartoon Network era right there.
Cartoon Network.
Rugrats.
All right.
Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yep. Good. Maybe you guys can relate to that. So Bernice, first service said, howdy doody. You really know what Howdy Doody is.
I never watched it, but I know of it.
Okay. Should I ask him? All right. What's Howdy Doody?
I don't know.
All right. Somebody help him out. Yeah, it's a puppet. Like, back in the day, we had these shows with puppets. All right? It was Sesame Street. Yeah, back in the day. Anyways. Enough of that. So... how long you been coming to CCW, Hunter?
This year, I believe it'll be eight years.
8 years. Awesome, dude. Yep, that's good stuff. Yep. So what's your favorite thing? What would you say your top three, like, favorite things are about CCW?
Honestly, the number one for sure is the community. I love everyone here, how welcoming we are, and just how much we'll accept you into it. Like, if it's your first time here, congrats to you. This is one of the best families you'll be into.
Yep, and you're good at that. Yeah. Wonder if you've ever met a stranger. What are your other two top reasons?
Other two, the services that we provide, like the youth and the elementary back there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good service. I taught back there for a few years. I used to teach fourth and fifth grade guys.
Yeah.
It's a good curriculum. You get to know the kids. It's really good.
Yeah, appreciate that. It's good serving, man. Yeah.
And then also the worship team. We got to give it to them. I mean, what about worship today, guys?
Yeah. Good stuff. So if you could change three things about CCW, what would they be? Just top three, whatever comes to your mind.
If I could change three things. I don't know. I mean, honestly, this is an amazing church. I've been to some other ones, and I've always stuck here. I really don't know.
Yeah, that's not too helpful.
I know.
The carpet.
I'll take Kathy's suggestion there.
All right, come on. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I'm talking about. See, I was like, man, I'm making my list, you know. Yeah, it's good. Nothing. You can't think of anything off the top of your head? Yeah.
Not that I could change, no.
Yeah. Well, that's a helpful. I mean, that's great. Yeah, that's good. If you do think of something, all right, you know where to come to. Hunter, I know you love Jesus. I know you're a follower of him, and, you know, you've given your life to him. Just... quickly, three top reasons you love Jesus.
He changed my life. I didn't grow up here in the church. My older brother, Jacob, over there, he actually came here before I did.
Mm-hmm.
And he always talked about how it was so loving, like he had so many good friends here, and that it really changed my outlook from that, just from his experiences.
Yeah. Anything else?
I mean, the community, like I said, mm-hmm. how much of a family we are.
Yeah,
Yep. And just getting into like being part of like some of the services, like I said, teaching and in elevation, mm-hmm. teaching and being part of that group is just something amazing. And internship this year, actually, I'm going to be an intern with the church since I'm graduating high school this year.
Yep.
And I'm very psyched for it. It's going to be something big.
Man. Yeah, me too. Be fun spending the summer together. I'll tell you, I've been blessed and honored to be able to have a front row seat to the transformation Jesus has made in your life. I remember, you know, when you first came and shy and, you know, just kind of not, you know, knowing anybody and anything, and just to watch Jesus change you from the inside out to become the young man that you are. And I'm proud of you. So glad that you're here and partnering with me and others here in the ministry, the way you're affecting young kids and old guys like me. Hunter, you're one of my heroes. I appreciate you so much.
Thanks.
I know this took some courage to come up here, kind of be in the spotlight and, you know, and put your heart out there and share some things. So thank you. Thank you for this time of real talk, man. Appreciate you. Yep. Good. Love you. This thing. All right. Well, I tell you, to be able to spend some time together and, you know, and Hunter and I have talked and his brother's proud of him, and those of you who know Hunter, and you know, and this could be, you know, just kind of a like a, this conversation that we have with each other around here all the time, don't we? I mean, if you're in a small group, you got family, friends, you know, you're in ministry, you kind of understand that that we're real people. You know, this isn't just something that we do. You know, something that we, you know, like, and probably the thing that I appreciate most about Hunter, about you and I, and we get up in the morning and we do this thing on Sunday morning. Watching online, taking the time out of your week, is that you don't have to do this. You don't. Like, this is something that you've made a priority in your life to get together, and more importantly, to do life together. To do life together, to know each other, to be real with one another. And that is big. That is a real big deal. Did any of you guys watch the Super Bowl? This last Sunday, I don't know who you're rooting for, but you know, if you're a Rams fan, congratulations. But one thing that the Super Bowl always reminds me of is that we as Americans have this kind of this pre-existing condition, this kind of illness that all of us kind of carry with us as Americans called consumerism. Consumerism. It exposes itself in comparison, competition, you know, kind of draws us in. It starts the week before the game, maybe 2 weeks before the game, you know, all the hype and the interviews and all this kind of thing. By the time the Super Bowl comes, you're like, man, just play the game already, right? I mean, just like, you know, have it. And then you get to the game and it's all on the field, you know, and you're just kind of, everybody's in their jerseys and their stuff. And then the halftime show with the entertainment, you know, and the commercials. How many of y'all love the commercials? You know, this, I mean, all of this is kind of built around this, man, propensity that we have as Americans to be consumers. It's just who we are. It's everyday life for us. It's a real like thing. And like Monday or Sunday at the Super Bowl, if we're not careful, just being real, just having this talk, if we're not careful, this position that we're in, this predisposition that we have, can find its way into our attitudes about the church. And we too can become, when it comes to this and doing life together, we can become consumers if we're not careful. We can start thinking about this gathering time, for example, as what am I going to get out of it? Who's going to be speaking this morning? How good's it going to be? What about the band? You know, is this going to entertain? What's this going to bring? You know, what the building, you know, all the stuff that happens around us. And we start asking questions like, you know, well, what am I going to get out of it? Instead of what can I put into it? How does the church serve me? Instead of how can I serve the church? How does God, really, when it comes down to it, how is the Lord going to serve me? Instead of how can we serve the Lord? So I think having conversations like this, you know, and just understanding, man, this is real stuff. Like, we want to get away from that because honestly, we're here for a reason. And it's bigger than the band, and it's bigger than who's preaching, it's bigger than the building, and all this kind of consumeristic ideas that if we're not careful, we will adopt. It's about, literally about, us doing life together in a way that honors God. And I'm so glad you are a part of this body, this family today, and have taken time to do that. Man, we are important to one another. Hunter, you are important to me. You guys are important to the person around you, sitting next to you. And I think when we talk about real relationships, we got to understand that it happens best when we do life together in real relationships. When we start just really understanding this transformation that you talked about, Hunter, it happens best in real relationships with each other. We've been talking about this over the last 2 weeks. Josh, a couple weeks ago, Van did a phenomenal job of teaching us, again, from the life of Jesus and the book of John, how Jesus showed us the theology, the value of having these real relationships. Last week, Chris, man, preached awesome, talked about the value of real invitations, what it means to have an invitation from God, literally, to have a relationship with him through Jesus, and what happens when we begin to invite each other into those same kind of relationships. And today, I want to spend a few minutes just talking about how Jesus shows us, he literally shows us the key, like the most important thing when it comes to doing life together in real relationships. Most important thing. To do that, I want you to turn to your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 13, okay? If you have them, if you're watching online, you can reach under your seats right here in this room. John 13, it's in your New Testaments. You can find it. We're going to dive right into the end of Jesus's life after 3 years of ministry. So let me give you a little background on it as you're turning to John 13. Jesus is spending time with his disciples. He's nearing the end of his life. He's on the road to Calvary that Clint just talked about. We celebrated around the Lord's table. He's on his way to the cross. It is Passover. It's a meal. They're celebrating together. So this is how they're doing life together. He's eating with them around a table. He's with his friends, followers. And during supper, Jesus does an unthinkable thing, especially for a rabbi and the Son of God, by the way. He begins to take off some of his clothes so that he can get on his knees with a towel and a basin of water, and he begins to wash the nasty, dirty feet of his disciples. He's serving them, setting an example. What a powerful example this is, right? That life together. What an example we see in Jesus doing this with his friends. Look at some of the things there. If you're scrolling down, you can kind of look over this passage and you can see it. They're eating together. So life together is going to include food, right? I mean, we want to eat together, right? That's good. That's what Jesus is doing. We did this at the Super Bowl. If you were at a party, you probably had a lot of food there, all right? That's part of doing life together. We see diversity. We see people from all different kinds of backgrounds eating around Jesus' table. Of course, we see service. Jesus is modeling this, washing feet. The discussions that take place around the table in the upper room that night, we see honesty. We see transparency, humility. We see emotion, questions being asked, answers. Around the table that day, that night, we see both the beloved, the Apostle John, as he lays his head on Jesus' chest, and we see the betrayer, Judas, who just hours from now would turn on Jesus, all in one place. This is real life. Together. This was them, and honestly, 2,000 years later, this might describe a meal in your own house. This might describe us. As we read the passage, just kind of see how life is done together with Jesus and those he loves, all of them. So we get to the end of John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, and this is where we see this all comes, you know, to head. The stage is being set, okay, for Jesus' perhaps his most profound and repeated teaching. This thing that we're about to read, the words of Jesus, are repeated over and over again in the New Testament. This is amazing stuff, and I think it is the key for all of us in doing life together in real relationships. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Do y'all have it? Y'all got it? Okay, look at your Bibles. It's up on the screen. What I'm going to ask you to do is just kind of stand up for a minute, all right, stretch, and we're going to, in honor of God's word, we're going to read this together as a family, all right? John 13:34-35. All right, let's listen to the words of Jesus on three. Let's do this. One, two, three. A new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are one another. By this, you are my disciples. If you love one another. Great job. Awesome. Let's do that again. As we read it, I want you to just imagine just sitting there with the apostles and listening to Jesus say these words to you. All right, let's say them again. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. One another. Amen. Great. Have a seat. Good job, you guys. Awesome. Man, those words are amazing. So good. You know, last week, Chris busted out these five W's when he talked about these invitations of Jesus, the real invitation that we can enter into. And I want to borrow that today, okay? I want to, as we dig into Jesus' words a little bit, some W. Now, I'm going to throw an H in there, too. You'll find it along the way, okay? But some W's when it comes to Jesus' teaching about real life together as his people, all right? John 13:34-35. The first W, all right? Why? Why? Jesus lays it out right at the beginning. Why do we do life together? Why are these words important? Here's why. Look at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you. Who is the I there? Help me out. Talk to me. Who is the I there? Who's speaking? Yes, Jesus. So the why here is because Jesus said so. Jesus said so. This is not a suggestion. All right, this is not a, if you feel like it kind of thing. This is a commandment from Jesus himself. He is the I here, the Son of God in the flesh. As Glenn just helped us around the Lord's table, hear this again, man. Jesus, the Son of God who came from heaven to earth in the flesh to live a perfect life as he healed, as he taught, a perfect, and Jesus, okay, God in the flesh. He died a perfect sacrifice for your sins and mine on the cross and then went into the grave for 3 days. And after 3 days, he rose from the grave. As we just sang, that's on Cornerstone. That is reality. That really happened. And he did it to prove that he was God. So if you believe Jesus is God today and you take his word seriously, you do what he says. This is a commandment from Jesus. What he's doing here is he's updating an Old Testament commandment from Leviticus 19, and we see it all through the New Testament as well. He is defining for us the true mark that Christ followers share. This is undeniable. It is identifiable. It is like the tattoo on the life of every single person who calls Jesus Christ their king. This command, it's a command that matches another command that maybe you've heard before. Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second command is just like it. Love, help me out, your neighbor as yourself. The apostle John, who was with Jesus around that table that night, later he would write letters to churches as he was getting ready to end his life or have his life ended as well. And in one of these letters, 1 John chapter 3, he's reminding us of these words. This is God's command to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's his command. And to love one another as he commanded us. One chapter later, 1 John 4, he's given us this command. Jesus, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. You say, this is obvious. It is. So why is this being said over and over again? Because it's important. It's like we're afraid, maybe, like we might forget this. And John is reminding us what Jesus said way back there in the upper room. This is the why. The why, because Jesus said so. And by the way, it is the best way. the best way to do life together. Jesus's way. That's the why. So the what? The what? Like, what are we to do? I mean, the key to doing life together is to actually do something. So what is it? Anybody know? Yeah, he says, that you love. Did y'all celebrate Valentine's Day on Monday? I don't know, it's not for everybody. It's like this Hallmark holiday, you know, and I know my Valentine is here this morning. I am so in love with Lisa. She is my Valentine. And I know you're thinking, every day is Valentine's Day. Why do we need to celebrate Valentine's Day, right? But man, doing life with her for 34 years, married 32, is a true blessing. So I kind of like a day of the year to be able to say, Happy Valentine's Day, you know, Lisa. Maybe you said Happy Valentine's Day to somebody. Maybe you've got that special someone. I don't know. But hopefully you had a chance to at least think about that on Monday. Some of us love other things in life besides people. Maybe Valentine's Day for you, or maybe thinking about love reminds you of puppies. Like, don't we love puppies? Come on, if you don't love puppies, yeah, you might be in trouble, all right? So we love puppies. In fact, we love to love things. We love to love things. I mean, that's evident even like in the Super Bowl. Like I said, you know, I heard people, man, I love football, I love my team, you know, all this kind of stuff. We love to love things. In fact, we love love. Oh, isn't that sweet? Love is the key. Love is the key to doing real life together. But not this emotional, transactional, temporary, cute, puppy love kind of love. The love that Jesus is talking about here is the word agape. Agape, it is the strongest form of love. It is a life-giving love, a love that gives without asking anything in return, unconditional love. Not a cute love. It's gritty love. Sacrificial love. A love that would give its life for someone else. It's an action word. And it's defined by God and defined in God himself. In fact, going back to the Apostle John, 1 John 4, I just want to read these words to you. And they're going to be on the screen. Just let the Lord speak to you through these words. But think about this idea of love, agape love. John says this, God is love. God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He didn't just say it. He showed it. And this is how he sent his one and only son, his one and only son, into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, your sins. My sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, since God so loved you, he loved me, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. One another. I hope you know this morning. We're going to sing this song in just a few minutes. What John makes clear, what God makes clear, is that love, agape love, has a name. Love has a name, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and we can know, literally know, the love of God in Jesus. And actually, it's impossible to have this kind of love without Jesus. Without Jesus, we are lost. Without Jesus, man, death and hell are in our future. That's the fact of the matter. But in Jesus, if we read the scripture and take it seriously and know who he is, God showed us his love for us, and he literally offers us this gift of love. He offers us the gift of eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. We need Jesus in order to love like Jesus loved. So today, I hope and I pray that that you have given your life to Jesus, all of you, to him, and surrendered to him. Maybe today is a day for your very first time you're going to say, yes, I know that I need the love of Jesus to come into my life and consume my life, and I'm going to give him my life once and for all and forever. I'm going to turn away from my old life. I'm going to be baptized into Christ, be forgiven of my sins, and I'm going to walk out of this place a brand new person with his love inside of me, a new transformational kind of love. And today, maybe you're saying, man, I am a Christ follower. I get it. But man, I would just want to encourage you today as I stand here and I live this out in my own life. I go, man, I want to live in that love. I want to be a vessel of that love in my own life. Love is the what. So who are we to show this love to? I mean, how do we do this? Jesus makes it clear again. It sounds very, very simple, but the answer is love one another. Love one another. Jesus is talking at this time, again, John 13, he's talking to his disciples, to the Christ followers there that were with him. The Apostle John, again, he reminds us of this in his letter, 1 John chapter 4, who is. Okay, 1 John 4, 19 through 21. Listen, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have not seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. We've seen one another. We love one another who we do see. How do we love God whom we've not seen? And he's given us this command. Anyone who loves God, this command, again, command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. We are the who. Our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Now, in giving this command, Jesus is giving us at the same time a revolutionary gift. This is not a burden. This is a gift that would change the world, a gift that changes families, changes communities, changes your life and mine from the inside out. For the first and only time in history, Jesus has created a group of people in his family, his church, who will live on mission, motivated first and forever by love, the love of Jesus, the love that he modeled for us, love one another. One another. This one another love, this who love. Look, this is why it's revolutionary. Because the love Jesus is talking about, love for one another, skin color, doesn't matter. Love one another. Your family background doesn't matter. Love one another. How rich you are, how poor you are, what you're able to give in the offering plate, how much you give to the club or to the organization, whatever. Like, no, love one another. Your native language, your background, love one another. Love one another without rules. Love one another without dress codes. Love one another without expectations and without judgment. Love one another. Love one another on good days and on bad days. Love one another. No matter your political party, whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed or want to wear a mask or don't want to wear a mask, whether you are a Bucks fan or not a Bucks fan, look, love one another. This is what Jesus is telling us. Followers of Christ are known by one thing and one thing only, and the most important thing of all, how we what? Love one another. Man, that's the church we want to be. That's the family we want to be. Man, we can brag all day about our band. We can talk about what speaker's on stage. We can talk about our building, our facility, and our gyms, and the father-daughter dance, and all the kind of things happening in our community. Look, we want to be known not by those things, but we want to be known for our love for one another. I want to be those people. Don't you? I want to be that church. People, man, you know, they're not perfect. They got all their bumps and bruises. They don't get everything right. I'm not real sure about what's going on inside. But, man, I can tell you this. They love one another. And that kind of love ripples into the community around us in an irresistible way. Love for one another. You know, the first church had this down. They figured this out. Man, on the other side of the resurrection of Jesus, we see it right away as early as Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. People in Jerusalem from all over the world had gotten together. And on right there in Pentecost, Acts chapter 1, we see people being saved, and they were devoted to one another right away. They started to get together. They started to eat together. They started to learn together, pray together. They were unified. They shared with each other everything they had. They gave generously to one another. This is love in action. It was contagious. And as a result, people came to know and love and follow Jesus as Lord by the thousands. The world was changed. Of course, Jesus says we're to love everyone. We're to love everyone, even our enemies, Jesus says, unbelievers. That's a given. That is a non-negotiable thing. But in the upper room, John 13, that night, love started there, around that table. In that place, love for both the beloved, John, and the betrayer, Judas. And just like in that room, that night, we must love each other, one another in this room, right here around this table, in our family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is where it starts, with us. We are the who. It has to happen in real, tangible, functional, real life ways. So how? How do we do this? How does this happen? Verse 34, Jesus says, as I have loved you. As I have loved you. That's how. We love each other like Jesus loved us. And we know how Jesus loved us, right? I mean, we've talked about it already this morning. We've sang it out loud. We see it all through the scriptures. In fact, two chapters later, John chapter 15, I love this. Jesus illustrates this kind of love when he says in John 15, 12 through 17, this is my commandment. Here it is again. Commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they would lay down their life for their friends. That kind of love. That's the how. It's an unconditional love. We love like Jesus loves, no matter the circumstances. Romans 5, God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's a sacrificial love. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for our own brothers and sisters. Sacrificial and unconditional and eternal. Romans 8 tells us how nothing can separate us from the love of God. It is an eternal kind of love, and that's a love that we have in us and we can share with the world around us. And it is the best kind of love, the best kind of love. And I heard it said, it just stuck with me. Maybe it'll stick with you too. Love at its best loves us at our worst. Love at its best loves us at our worst. That's the kind of love that Jesus has for us and that we can have for each other. Does this make sense to you? Love at its best loves us at our worst. It's so true. That's agape love. This is how Jesus loves us. This is the kind of love that you sign up for if you decide to get married. You love best when you love it the other person's worst. You guys have been there. You know that, man. This is the kind of love that forgives when you've been hurt. It's the kind of love that crosses the living room and says, I'm sorry. When you're at your worst and the hand reaches out for you and says, it's okay, I forgive you. I know you're not at your best right now, but I love you. It's that love that brings the husband to the wife to the hospital room. Husband can't get out of bed, and right now you are sitting at the edge of your husband's hospital bed, loving him at his worst. He didn't plan on this happening, and you're loving him. That's what you sign up for. It's the kind of love that happens when your son, your daughter, stomps out of the room and curses you out and says, you know, I'm done with this family. I'm finished. That's not your best moment. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, you love them, even in their worst moments. It's the kind of love that we read about in the prodigal son story. The love that says, come back, I'm here. I will love you, even at your worst. That's agape love. It's the kind of love the church has. When a young teenager like me walks, just, man, I can't go back there. I have hurt too many people. I have done too many stupid things, and I will never walk back in the doors of the church again. I'm at my worst, and they don't need to see me at my worst. It's a church that says, oh, that's when we love you the best. Come on back. It's the reason I'm standing here today, and it's the reason some of you are sitting here today. Because love at its best loves us at our worst. That's the love of Jesus. And I know it's hard. Man, it is so difficult. Sometimes it feels impossible, and it's because we cannot do this on our own. We can't. We're not expected to. To love like Jesus loved, we have to have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. We've got to be walking in the Spirit and by the Spirit. We've got to be still and allow Him to love us from the inside out and then carry that love into the people that we know and do life with on the outside. This happens through prayer. It happens through reading the Word of God. It happens through allowing the Spirit of God to empower us to do what we can't do on our own. Not by our strength, not by our might, not by our will, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. And by His Spirit, we can. We can love unconditionally, forgive, serve, eat together with people not like us, even people who would betray us. Love unbelievers, love our enemies, love our family members, our coworkers, people we go to school with. Love that brings the hope of Jesus to all people. How? Like Jesus does. And I'm so grateful for God's word because He gives us so many ways that we can love one another. In fact, if you look through your New Testaments, in your Bible or in your bulletins today, I've given you a list. You can open your sermon notes and see just a list of one another's in here. I can show them to you, but there's dozens and dozens in the New Testament. Greet one another, pray for one another, not just love one another, but encourage one another, build one another up, dozens of them. I would encourage you today to go through that list and pick one of those one another's and practice that in your life this week, maybe starting today. How do we love like Jesus loved? By loving one another the way Jesus said to. And He's given us so many powerful ways to do that. That's the how. So when and where? When and where? What Jesus says, verse 35, by this all people will know. It's the future, but He's also in the very, very, very present, that you are my disciples. People will know that you are my disciples right now if you have love for one another. Another translation for this is among one another, that you have love among one another. Jesus says, you want to know when? You want to know where? Right here, right now. That's when. That's where. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another now. So in your bulletins on the screen, I've given you just a little exercise. I'm not going to go through this whole thing. I've talked a lot already, but just kind of fill in this blank and just kind of think where this would be for you. By this love, people will know that I'm a disciple of Jesus if I have love for who, where, starting when. So I think, you know what? Starting tomorrow, people are going to know that I'm a disciple of Jesus if I have love for my boss at work, starting when I walk in the door tomorrow morning. And this is how I'm going to do it. And you pull out one of those, one another, I'm going to greet him. Man, I'm going to greet her. I'm just going to walk by because I'm ticked off. No, that's when and where you can do that. See, here's the thing about our small groups, about our activities together, about being together this morning. We can't love one another without one another. We can't love one another without one another. This week I had the chance to meet one of my neighbors and new neighbors, and we just had this great conversation. And It was kind of cool because as we got talking, I found out that he was a believer. He's a Christ follower as well. It was a really cool conversation. And he just moved into the area. We started talking about church, you know, and this and that. And he gave me a line that maybe some of you have heard, some of you have used. I know I have. You know, I don't need to go to church to follow Jesus. Why would I go to church? Because there's so many people there. You know, when I walk in, everybody's so shiny and happy, you know, and it's just kind of, they have these masks on, they're fakes, and, you know, I'm not real sure they really believe what they say they believe. And I go, man, you are right. It makes no sense to take time out of your Sunday morning when you can worship Jesus right at home. You can. And honestly, of one thing we've learned over COVID time, you know, is that when you're sitting at home, you can tune in, you can watch online. You don't have to put up with each other, do you? Why would you come here? You know, you can, in fact, you can watch better services than we have here at CCW. You can turn on and watch the best of the best. You can listen to the best teachers. You can rock out with the best worship leaders and bands in the country, maybe even around the world. Do you really need to be here? So I asked him. I said, you know what I think? I think you're right. There's one thing you can't do sitting at home. You can't be with one another. You can't love one another at home. You got to be around other believers to do that. He says, man, I just got goosebumps. Like I didn't even think about that. She says it over and over and over again, love one another. It's like, man, this is where it happens. Like, you know, we're not perfect. You know, yes, sometimes we do. We kind of get out there and we kind of, you know, we'll walk in and we don't. But look, real relationships, transformational relationships happen when we get together. We do life together in the name of Jesus. We really begin these real relationships in real life ways. And it's not just singing songs. It's encouraging one another, praying with one another, doing life together as brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't do one another without one another. So this week, I want to encourage you to join a small group. If you've never done that before, maybe go to your small group if you're in one with a new lens and just kind of say, hey, look, we got to start doing this stuff together. Open up. Jump in, participate. Man, this is the time to do that. You can join a small group at our Next Step stations. You can go on ccw.church/groups, and you can join a small group. Do that this week, all right? Start doing life together, one another, all right? Another thing you can do is if you're a member here, Jeff mentioned it earlier, come back for our family meeting tonight. You know who you are. You've taken foundations. You've signed on dotted line. You know this is your family. Come back tonight, and we're going to have a family meeting together. And maybe just since we're talking right here, right now, with us, okay, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning before you leave. We're going to sing this song, all right, Love Has a Name. We are going to worship together. We're going to sing that. We're going to live that out. But before you leave this morning, all right, I'm going to ask you to greet one another, encourage one another, pray with one another, get up out of your seat, and before you leave and run back to your car, get together with some other one another. All right, and get to know them. And don't just hang out with the same one another's that you always hang around with, all right? Get to know another one another that you didn't know before you came this morning, and you'll be glad you did. And then take this love, the love that Jesus has for us, the love that we have for one another, and take it out into the world so that they might know the greatest love of all, Jesus. Love does have a name. Let's go ahead and stand together. Again, before you leave today, greet one another, get to know one another. But right now, let's devote our attention to the one who gave his life for us. Jesus, we love you. God, we know that love has a name. And right now, we pour our hearts to you. And we thank you for loving us so that we could love one another in that same way. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.